Good morning, everyone. I think I heard a shh. One announcement I would like to highlight is you've noticed a meeting scheduled for October the 23rd. We won't require that meeting now. Further information and understanding from our insurance company has changed our need to hold that meeting. So just scratch that one off the list. Turn the mic. Okay, right this way. October the 20th, just to highlight, I know you have these meetings and items in the bulletin, but on Thursday at 2:30, the worship service at the Heart of the Valley Seniors Home, and just to let you know that anyone is welcome to come and participate in that, and I'll leave the rest of the announcements for you to read. If you're not aware, Pastor Bill is on vacation. He's not sick or anything. So we're just having a group of people to hold the service this morning. I'm going to ask Darlene to come up and share about Operation Christmas Child.
It's here again. Christmas is coming. Yes, it is. It's wonderful. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about Operation Christmas. Oh, it's in the microphone. There we go. About Operation Christmas Child. It started in 1990, and in 1993, Operation Christmas Child grew and was adopted by the Samaritan's Purse, a Christian organization run by Franklin Graham. To date, Operation Christmas Child has collected and distributed over 135 million shoeboxes around the world. And we Canadians, last year we packed 730,000 boxes. So that's something to be very proud of. This is the box. I know maybe some of you haven't done this before. This is the box. We got them all made up for you so you don't have to hustle and try to figure out how to get them together, because they are a little trick sometimes. They're over there on the table. There's information in here about what to put in your boxes. There's an envelope on the back that you put $7 in to help send it. And the tags are in there that you put on the front of the box here at the label section, and it gives you all kind, no food. No food of any kind, no candy, nothing. It's gotta be like, you know, like scribblers or crayons or coloring books or, oh, maybe you've knit a little doll for somebody or made a little dress or a skirt maybe. That would be for a little girl. But anyway, they're over there, and we've got until November the 13th. They'd be returned back here to this table, and on that day we'll have a dedication service for them. And I thought we'd have a little word of prayer for these boxes. Our God, we pray for Franklin Graham and his shoebox ministry. We thank him for the opportunity to fill these boxes with special items and with our love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 67, verses 1 to 3. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among the nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Our first hymn this morning is 621, Tell Me the Old, Old Story.
Thank you.
We come before you this morning with thankful hearts and in awe of the beauty of the earth this fall season. On this Mission Sunday, we think of the commission to go and teach all nations. Help us to teach by our actions. We pray for the health and safety of our missionaries. In Jesus' name, amen. Our invocation, responsive reading, rather, is on the back of your bulletin, the outward call. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them,
"Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before."
John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Teach these disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you.
And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Last July, our local ministry was the VON, and this is I'm going to read what they said. "Thank you very much for your generous donation to the Annapolis Valley VON. Best wishes, Alice Morrison." We'd send a donation through our church family to them. And you're all aware that this is our Mission Awareness Sunday, and some of you might wonder, and I've wondered myself, what is missions? And missions is basically Jesus calling us to others to help them as best we can. The insert in your bulletin today shows 62 missions our church family has supported over the past 5 years, and I'd like to highlight a few. Our financial support provides help for the breakfast programs at the high school and the elementary school, our refugee family in Middleton, and cataract surgery through Operation Eyesight. These are some of the things that when we give money, this is what we can do. Sometimes our hands help support missions by creating and sending cards to people in care facilities, making sandwiches for the Relay for Life, and sewing dresses for little girls in Africa that don't have something to make them feel special. We use recycled items such as juice and pop cans to support our foster child, and we save used stamps to help the French Baptist Church. And they have used those stamps, the money from those stamps, to buy a vehicle for a missionary. That's one of the things they have done. Sometimes the love and care in our voice and hearts help to support missions as well, such as our ministry at the Heart of the Valley Care Facility. And I don't know if any of you have not gone yet with us when we go, but they really enjoy to see people. They really enjoy to sing, because a lot of those people will be just like you and I sitting there a few years from today and remember when we came to church and sang. And they really enjoy to see people. And then our prayers that support missions. We pray for our global field staff, the Bustons in Rwanda and the Kennys in Kenya, who have left their families and the comforts of their homes to bring God's love to the people that they meet. And so that's something, if we thought today about getting up and packing our lives up and moving to some country that we've never been before, where services and living is not quite like it is here. So it must be quite a challenge for them, and we're thankful that they do that. And I just want to thank you. Thank you for giving because of God's love in your heart to all these missions that we do.
Let's come to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we give you our hearts, minds, and bodies to use as you will. As we've just heard, there are many ways for us to be active in this world for you. We have no other life than the one that you've given us. We have no purpose without what you have called us to and desired for us. Lord, we ask you to fill us with your presence. Fill our minds and hearts with the glory of your love and grace. We are the clay and you are the potter, Lord. Mold us into the men and women you need us to be and we want to become. You alone are worthy of our praise and our devotion, and you alone are worthy of our heart's full attention and worthy of our love. Father, you have made us who we are and have given us all we have. You have blessed us in realms far above our mind's ability to comprehend. You are the one God that we adore and desire to fully give our heart to. Thank you, Lord, for each person here. We ask your blessing as we join our voices in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'll ask Janet to come up and share special music with us. Thank you, Janet. Lovely words for us to be quiet and take in for a moment. I'll ask the ushers to come and accept the offering at this time.
Thank you.
doxology. Thank you, Father, for all you have done for us, given to us, and entrusted us with. We offer these gifts, trusting they will enhance and benefit where you have led people to serve. We give you all the praise and glory for the work accomplished in your name, for we know it is your will and plan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To read for you Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And in 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Mark has some readings she'd like to share with us now.
Good morning. When I first heard of the short-term missions, I questioned in my mind if the money spent on such trips would be better spent on long-term missions. But as I heard Ellen Simpson's report and others, I came to realize that their firsthand reports vitalized interest in missions. Today, we will have a report from Jennifer Ryan, who traveled to Bolivia with a group from Grand Bay Baptist Church in New Brunswick. Jennifer says, I'm a 43-year-old pharmacist, business owner, and mother of three children, 7, 6, and 4. Going on a short-term mission trip was not on my radar. But when the last team had gone on a short-term mission trip from our church and came home in 2014, my husband, Corey, turned to me one day and said, "You should go to Bolivia." And the door of possibility was opened. I had a million reasons not to go, but it became clear to me that the Lord was calling me to take this step of faith out of my comfort zone and to go to Bolivia despite the obstacles. The Lord made the path clear. With family to help with the kids and the preparation of staff to cover my work in my absence, our team's primary focus was to work with the Changas Project in Bolivia. This is a joint project between Canadian Baptist ministries and Baptist organizations in Bolivia. Changas disease affects 90% of adults in endemic areas such as Bolivia. 10 to 30% of children are affected. Changas can affect the heart, central nervous system, and organs. Its symptoms develop over time, and it can be fatal. It is spread through vector contact when an insect or tick, in this case a parasitic insect called the vinchuga bug, bites animals or people. The manchuga is a nocturnal and lives in the walls of the adobe brick homes of the very poor. There is treatment, but getting families diagnosed and treated is challenging. There's a stigma around the disease, and remoteness often makes treatment and follow-up out of reach for those families. The medications used cause some serious side effects, and so many stop taking them. Diagnosis, treatment, and home repair, this is the Changas Project. Our role was to plaster the walls and cement the floors, area of homes to prevent entry of this insect. We were in a very remote community. I don't know how you summarize the enormity of the impact that short-term mission trip has on you personally and spiritually. It is even harder to fully articulate the experience once you're back home to the busyness of life. The best way I can share the experience is to share a few excerpts from a journal in which I reflected each day. First, when we went to visit our homes, this drive was a most beautiful and horrifying experience. We mounted a narrow, one-lane dirt road up the mountain for an hour. We will make that drive 10 more times before we come home. I don't think I could ever prepare myself for what I would see. These people are very isolated. They live in adobe brick buildings with holes for windows. The floors are dirt. They sleep on mattresses stuffed with hay, and they have no other furniture except for a couple of falling apart benches. The total of their possessions from both homes could easily fit in the back of my Ford truck. The family in the home I will work on is a family of seven. There are five children, ages 11, 10, 6, 5, and 3. I couldn't help wondering what the family was feeling as these white strangers entered their home to fix it. They agreed to the help, but did they now feel embarrassed, ashamed, or anxious? I wondered if the husband felt a little helpless. I tried to put myself in his shoes. How would I feel? It is human nature to want to provide for your family. Excerpt 2. I have been thinking a lot of being made in God's image. We are all made in his image. If we can remember that, then perhaps we would see our neighbors differently. Perhaps we would look at the poor, the homeless, the unlovable, the church brother whom we disagree with as an equal, made in the image of God. We are all broken people living in a broken world, surviving in broken relationships and broken political systems. If we could see through the brokenness and first see the image of God in that purpose, perhaps we would be more inclined to seek understanding. Everyone, like this family, has a story. Excerpt 3. During this trip, the Lord has reminded me of my nature spirit. I have always felt the presence of the Lord most strongly when surrounded by his natural creation. I had forgotten how intense this can be. I had seen pictures of Bolivia. However, I am still overwhelmed by the beauty of this country. From the mountains to valleys, rivers, plants, birds, animals, and insects. Everything feels exotic and foreign. Even the smells and the heat are intense. I remember at one point today digging in the dirt to arrange rocks for the base where we would lay cement, and noting that the dust from this land is invasive. It is under my fingernails, in my hair, my ears, my eyes, and undoubtedly my heart. I will return to this place. Excerpt 4. Today is a difficult day. We worked hard to finish what work we could. We managed to get all the walls completed and the floors laid in one of the two bedrooms in each of the homes. We spent time with the families, gave them our gifts, and prayed with them. Over the week, we have been able to establish relationships with the parents. I went from seeing that initially perceived as fear and embarrassment in the dad's face when he first arrived to ease and friendship. He was gracious and comfortable in his goodbyes. The children in our family were very shy. Marlene, our 11-year-old shepherdess, had hidden behind her mother all week. Today, she kissed me goodbye. Open the floodgates. So we drove down the mountain for the last time, across the river, and back to our comfortable hotel. Everyone was very quiet. I don't know what will happen to that family. I do know that life will continue to be difficult for them. I feel for them as human beings, as children made in the image of God, as parents who want the best for their children. I have been blessed and moved and changed because of my experience with them.
Thank you, Mark. I hope at least for the rest of today I won't complain about such trivial things as I might. And just the comment that we're all made in God's image, no matter where we might live, and the hardships of that can be quite diverse. I hope that this morning you won't just remember that it's a short service. I hope you remember that we can give God His grace and glory in a short amount of time or in an hour. Let's stand as we sing hymn number 429, They'll Know We Are Christians.
We will work.
insert in your bulletin, you'll find a parting blessing I'd like for us to read together. May God's blessing be upon us as we return to our homes, mindful of the inward changes God desires to make in our lives. May we strengthen and encourage one another in the shared vision God has laid on our hearts. May the blessing of God's creative nature impact us with a boldness for ministry. May the likeness of God the Son be the model of our reshaping. May the energizing of God the Spirit empower us for renewed living. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.